God. Amen. It's good to see everybody here tonight. It's so good to have the Browns back. Amen. Good to have Deontay and Melissa back. Hope you all had a really good time. Amen. It made me a little envious. I need to get away for a few days myself, and it kind of reminded me of that. Amen. It's good to have you folks back. And we had a tremendous service Sunday night and had a really great service Sunday morning. Here we are already Wednesday night. Amen. But let's get into the word of the Lord, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. And I want to read down through verse 17 tonight. Praise the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Praise God. And I want to, of course, talk tonight about, I want to preach a little bit about the Church of Pergamos. Amen. I find it very interesting when you do studies on like this, the things you find, the things you dig up, it gives you a revelation of things you didn't know before. Let's pray together one more time and let's ask for the help of God. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for truth. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, Lord, for prophecy. We thank you, Lord, for the real and not a fake and a phony, but we thank you for the real truth of God and the true Spirit of God tonight. We give you thanks for it and anoint the word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And as we look at the seven churches, we can see where here the Church of Pergamos, he starts out with a definition or a way of talking about himself. He's making reference to himself in different ways of each of the churches. And one of the other churches we talked about, he was the first and the last. But here he refers to himself in a different way. And he said to the church in Pergamos, he said, I am him which has a sword with two edges. Now, we know what a sword is for. It's for war. It is for killing. It is for surgery. And I want to use a scripture here in a minute for that. But it goes along the same line. And we can see that there is one that makes reference to himself, or as the scripture references, that is one that has a sharp two-edged sword. But before we do that, let's look at this sharp two-edged sword in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We want to go through and look at this here and then understand what the scripture is saying here. And it says, for the word of God, this is Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God, everybody said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Now, what the Lord is trying to say here, I believe, is that he was coming to the church in Pergamos to do surgery. Amen. Right down to the details of their church. And I don't believe that the Lord that the Lord paid the price for this church, the church that's going up in the rapture, and then to just let it, just move along and do whatever it wants to do. But I believe that all that love that he loves, rather, is those that he chastens. And he speaks to them, and he says, this is what I want you to change in your life. Here he's doing that with the church in Pergamos. And it's what he wants to do with each and every one of us as individuals as well. Amen. And when you look at the joints and you look at the marrow, this is the most inner part of us. It is the part that is hidden within the bone. And they do bone marrow transplants now, but they tell me that a major part of the blood of the body is produced in the marrow. And so we know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so where the Lord wants to go and do surgery is that very area that's going to give us life. Amen. It is the very area that sustains life and gives us the life of our spiritual body. Amen. Our spiritual man. And we can never forget or diminish the importance of preaching and teaching. Somebody said amen to that. Amen. It's not just another message, but it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is a two-edged sword, and he is the one that has the two-edged sword in his hand. Amen. And he knows how to use it. Thank God for that. And so here he's speaking to the pastor. It says here in verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write. And so he is writing down what the Lord has given to him, and then he is going to go and minister it to the church in Pergamos. And it is his responsibility, and it is a tremendous responsibility. It is not something at all to take lightly, but it is something that God has laid upon the shoulder of the ministry. If we look at it in the Old Testament, they wore a breastplate, and there were 12 stones on the breastplate, and they wore a heavy woolen garment. It didn't matter if it was hot outside or if it was cold. It really didn't matter. They had to bear the burden. Each of those 12 stones represented one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. And it was heavy, and he had to bear that burden, and that is the calling upon the ministry. Amen. I thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. I thank God for men that have come along and ministered to me in my life. And so he says to the church in Pergamos, write. And then he refers to himself as the one who has the sword with the two edges. And then he moves into this and he says, I know thy works. Praise God. I know what you're doing. I've got my eye upon this church. And I love you so much that I want to speak to you about some things that are very important. He said, I know your works, and I know where you are. I know that you are in a place where it is Satan's seat. Amen. And it is where Satan's seat is. Amen. And so when we look at this here tonight, Satan's seat, and Scripture tells us here that it is Satan's seat, but another rendering says it is Satan's throne. Amen. And so Satan set up his throne at that time on the earth in Pergamos because he is one who wants a throne to sit upon. He was in heaven, right? And when he was in heaven, he was the covering cherub, and then he decided he wanted to sit upon the throne of God, and he wanted to go higher than the heights. Amen. And when he was cast down to the earth, you got to see this about him. When he was cast down to the earth, he desires a throne or a place, a seat of authority where he can establish his kingdom, if you please, the kingdom of darkness. And that's why we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. That's why in high places of society, there is much demonic activity. Amen. And Pergamos was at Satan's seat. And Pergamos, the thing about Pergamos, if you do a little bit of study into this, Pergamos was the god of Pergamos was the Greco-Roman god, and I'm not really sure I'm pronouncing this right, Asclepius. And this was the god of healing and a god of truth and prophecy. But it wasn't a true god, it was a false god. And this god of healing was represented by a serpent. That ought to give you a clue right there as to where it's coming from. But they would make their idols, and it was not just a serpent, but it was a serpent on a pole. If you ever see an ambulance go by, you will see the sign, a pole with two snakes that are intertwined with each other. That was the exact type of idol that they had in Pergamos, and it was a god of healing, and it was a Greek and Roman mixture here of this mythological god, and we know where true healing is, and we know where truth is, we know where prophecy is, praise God, and it's not in some idol that we have to build and set up for others to worship and all of that, but we serve the living God tonight, amen, and here in Pergamos was the Gentile church of Pergamos surrounded by Satan's seat, amen, surrounded by all of these idols and all of these people that were worshiping the one true they're worshiping all of these other gods. Amen. I'll get it right here in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12. Paul's writing here and he says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them, which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets," or false apostles rather, "deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And you can also use the rendering "an angel of revelation." "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Amen. And what the Lord is trying to tell this church in Pergamos, you've got to understand the one that is writing to you. Amen. He is the true one. There is a false Jesus. There is another spirit. Amen. And we must be very careful to recognize and to understand which is which. Praise God. And false apostles, deceitful workers. and transforming themselves, trying to make themselves look like they are apostolic when they're really not apostolic. You know, it really does make a difference what comes over the pulpit. Praise God. It really makes a difference what is being preached in the church, and not just what is being preached in the church, but what is being allowed in the leadership of the church. And here he says, Pergamos, you've got to see the one who's writing to you. He is the true one. That when he was set up, he was set up on a pole in the wilderness, and it was a serpent on a pole, and it represented Jesus Christ. And others, though, have taken that symbol and they've made it into something that is not of God. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. And here is a situation where Israel was backslidden. And it says, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Amen. They still had the brazen serpent, but here comes a king who's going to straighten things out, and he breaks it into pieces. Didn't want to keep it for a souvenir or for future generations. But it says, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And so they would go to the altar of Nehushtan, and they would worship and offer incense before this serpent, brazen serpent, that was on this pole. You say, well, what was wrong with Pergamos where they had the same symbol? I'm telling you today, there are many that have the symbol of the cross, but they're far, far away from being Christian. Amen. I'm not trying to be critical or condemning here tonight, but the truth of the matter is we're not a Christian because we have a cross hanging off of our neck. Amen. We're not apostolic because we have the symbols. Amen. I don't want the symbols. I want the substance of the symbol. Praise the Lord. I don't want to offer incense. There are people today in our town that are offering incense before idols and praying to idols and offering incense and lighting candles in hopes that this statue or this man-made thing will answer their prayers. I know I was raised in that kind of a system, but I'm here to tell you tonight that there is something to this symbol. John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why did God put or tell Moses to put a brazen serpent on a pole, and whoever was bitten by the snakes could come and look upon that snake and be healed of their poison? Amen. It was a representation here of Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Amen. And so what was taking place at Calvary was that Jesus became sin, which is represented by a serpent. The serpent had the original sin in heaven, and he created the original sin in Eve and then in Adam. Amen. And the last Adam that came was Jesus Christ. And when he came and became sin for you and I on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. We don't offer incense to a cross. We don't bow down and pray to a cross. Amen. Because that's not what it is. We pray to the one that was on the cross. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 and verse 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, everybody said another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you have received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him. And so here he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he said, I'm afraid that as the serpent beguiled Eve through sneaky, cunning, conniving ways, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. He is not the second person of a Holy Trinity. That is a confusing doctrine that nobody understands. And it is said that we must accept it by faith. It is something that cannot be understood. I'm telling you, there is a simplicity in Christ. Amen. And we cannot complicate him. We cannot complicate his nature. We cannot complicate the truth about him, because when we look at Scripture, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, let's pull out the sword again here tonight. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And that word spoil means to take away from you and to defeat you. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And here is the simplicity of Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, not in them, but in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Mary does not have the ability to save you. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. That's part of the Hail Mary that I've prayed many, 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 many times in my youth. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I've come to a place of revelation and understanding of the Word of God. Amen. The simplicity of Christ is that the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. In other words, it was God that came down and conceived in Mary, and that child was the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man. Amen. In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Another scripture lets us to know that in Christ, that the Father was in the Son. Jesus said, "The Father that is in me." Amen. That God came down and robed himself in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. That God was manifest, or God was seen in the body of a man. He was a man. That's why he could die. He was a man. That's why he could get hungry. He was a man. That's why he could fall asleep. He was tired. He was hungry. He had the capacity to die. The Lord God that we serve tonight is never going to die and never had a birthday. Amen. He never gets hungry. He never slumbers or sleep. But he came and put on this robe of flesh so that he could save you and I on the cross of Calvary. That makes the cross of Calvary so much more important in our lives. Praise God. It wasn't just a son, the son of a God, coming down and dying on the cross. No, it was God Almighty. And he was in Christ all the way through the passion, all the way through the slap in the face, all the way through the pulling of the hairs of his beard out. Amen. All the way through the beating on the whipping post. Everything, all the way until Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Amen. The God that was in him was holy, amen, and is holy. The God that was in him could not bear sin because he cannot receive sin. He is that holy, amen. So he left, and that Son of God became sin who knew no sin. I'll tell you, it's a marvelous thing when you begin to look at what took place at Calvary. It's so marvelous, it ought to change our lives. And if you don't live for God because of Calvary, you'll never live for God. Amen. He died for us. He shed his precious blood for us. And so the Lord is saying some things here about Satan's seat that they have not denied the faith. They still believed in one God, but there were those that were in them that wanted to go in another direction. The Pergamos church had some wonderful history, even back to John the Revelator, who wrote gave them this message, or gave the pastor the message. And the bishop of the church of Pergamos, history tells us, was actually ordained by John the Revelator. And it was this same Antipas who was killed by the Romans in the reign of Nero. And history, again, tells us that he was killed by burning in a brazen bull-shaped altar for casting out demons worshipped by the local population. Amen. They went right straight to the head, and they killed the bishop who was ordained by John, who was on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. It would almost look like it was more than the church could sustain. And now, here they are. They're holding fast to the name of Jesus Christ. They've got this history. Probably it was the second generation, and probably there were some first generation saints that were in this church, but it's not what is happening right now that's so important, but what is going to happen to the next generation. Praise God. The next generation is an important thing. Amen. We've got to get it right for our children's sake. We've got to get it right for their children's sake. Amen. The church in Pergamos does not exist anymore. And so there was this this pressure that was against them. It was the world that was saying, we've got to burn you and kill you because you have a demon in you. You say, well, that's crazy. That's silly. I'm telling you tonight, in our generation right now, across the width and breadth of this world, there is a persecution against anybody that has a cross, anybody that even says the name Jesus Christ. There is a persecution that is developing. It's actually ongoing in our generation right now. And there is a new idea that says that Christianity is crazy. If it wasn't for Christianity, we wouldn't have all of these wars. Well, if you look at it, World War II was not started by Christians. World War I was not started by Christians. Amen. Yes, there are those in history that have killed people because they didn't believe the way they believed. But in reality, they were not Christian. Amen. They were just kings that were using it as a way to rule over the people. Amen. And we're living in that time. We're living in a time, amen, where the church will never fit into the world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Somebody said amen. It is a very dangerous thing, church, when we try to conform to the ways of this world. The Bible says, if any man be a friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. It is not us who have the devils. Well, praise God. I'll just leave it right there. Revelation 2 and 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. This teaching that was going on, and this doctrine that some within the church was holding, amen, allowing people who were not with them doctrinally to teach what they believed and to bring judgment upon themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, I know I'm using a lot of scripture here tonight, but it all just comes together. You can't hardly get away from all these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that you that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done so this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It makes a difference what we believe here tonight. Come on, somebody said amen. It makes a difference what you believe. Well, I know that's what the pastor preaches, but that's not what we do in our house. I'm telling you what you believe in your own heart and in your own spirit will eventually affect those that are around you. You cannot put a little bit of leaven into the dough and not expect it to have an effect upon it. Eventually it will leaven, or it will go all the way through the whole loaf, through the whole lump of bread. Leaven in the scriptures is a reference to sin. We cannot have, I'm not saying that everybody has to be perfect, but I'm talking about having a doctrine of sin. He said, you're holding the doctrine of Balaam, who taught the Balak, this king, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And if we look at this here tonight, there's actually two areas that I want to bring out here tonight. They had the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam's error, first of all, was to attempt to sabotage the coming of the children of Israel into the land of promise. And it was Balak who got a hold of Balaam. Balaam was not a Jew, according to what we look at in Scripture here, but he was somewhat of a man that was used to operating in a spiritual realm of some sort. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 1, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jericho. All right, you read that story. It goes all the way through the chapter 22 as well. You read that when you get home, and it's quite a story. I wished I had enough time here tonight to preach the whole story, but this just goes along with what was in the church in Pergamos. And so Balak, the king, called Balaam the prophet, so to speak, and he said, there is a people here who is going to cross the River Jordan, and they're going to take over the land. What I want you to do is to curse these people. And so Balaam prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, you better not curse these people, for they're my people. And he goes back to the king Balak, and he says, the Lord told me not to curse them. And he said, well, come with me. And so he took him up to a high place, and let him see all of the camp of Israel. And he said, I will give you money, I will give you this, that, and the other. I will satisfy the desires of your heart if you will curse these people. And he said, well, I'm going to go and pray and ask God what to do. And basically speaking tonight, the Lord said, do not curse them, for they are my people and I have not cursed them. Now, this is the not necessarily the doctrine of Balaam, but it was the actions of Balak and Balaam together. And so the next time he says, I want you to curse these people. Did you know that the enemy of our soul wants to plant that which is cursing inside the body of the church? And they've got criticisms about this and that and the other. But I'm telling you what, tonight, we need to be careful that we not criticize what God does not criticize. Praise the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to do it. So he took him to another place and he said, I'm not going to do it. He took him to another place and the Spirit of the Lord came upon this prophet. Yeah, they weren't even going to go into the promised land because they didn't believe God. That's how far away Israel was from God. But God said, I don't want you to curse because I have not cursed. They were in Moab, just across the river from Jericho. And that's where they went. They came across the river there in the area of Jericho. And that was one of the first battles. Actually, it was the first battle that they came up against. And the Lord defeated them. But here they are at Jericho. And they had to turn around and go back and wander for 40 years because they didn't believe God. And that was their spiritual condition. But I'm telling you tonight, even in that spiritual condition, praise God. We ought to thank God for the church, no matter what kind of condition is going on. Come on, somebody, help the pastor tonight. Amen. We need to thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. We need to thank God that we are in the church that is preaching the truth of the Word of God. And the thing that the king wanted was somebody to curse. But then if you go to Numbers chapter 31 and verse 7 and verse 8, it says here about Israel, they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males and they slew the king of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain. And they went in there and they killed and all of that. And verse 15, Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? And so what happened was, and Balaam eventually was killed in battle and never did come to fruition. But Balaam actually told the king of Balak, he said, here is the way you can defeat these people. You want to know how he can defeat the people of God? He can defeat them by the doctrine of Balaam. And the doctrine of Balaam was, to the king, he said, let all of the young women go in there, and they will begin to commit fornication. And when they commit fornication, the wrath of God will be against them, and we will defeat them. Do you think the devil is not smart? I'm telling you here tonight, he is crafty, he is deceitful. Amen. We need not to cast our eyes upon pornography. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. Amen. We need not to go to those kind of romance books that are in such detail. Amen. Maybe the Christian romance, that's all right. But I'm telling you tonight that it is very important that our children understand who the real Jesus is. He is not a Jesus that gives us liberty to fornicate. It's forgivable, but I'm telling you what, there's something about it that God has spoken of in many, many different places. And here the church in Pergamos had folks that were teaching the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and that was the doctrine that said you can live a loosely moral life, and it is the freedom that came from Calvary. That from Calvary there was a freedom now. We are set free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But Paul comes along and says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And there were those that turned that around and said that if we sin more, we will have more grace. And he said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? What did he say? God forbid. Amen. God forbid. Fornication is still something that God despises in our generation. But even more than that, if there are those that have that teaching in their mind and in their spirit, they're just not going to fit in an apostolic church. Holiness is still a reality in the New Testament church. There is a right and there is a wrong. Amen. You can say amen when the pastor's preaching, but what you say at home and what you smooth over for your little baby, oh, it's all right, honey. It's going to be okay. It'll all work out. I'm telling you tonight, it's not going to work out. Praise God. We must stand strong on the truth of God, not being obnoxious. I'm not talking about that. But we need to be stern and strong when it comes to righteousness and holiness. Well, praise the Lord. And that's what he was talking about here. And the Bible says that judgment came upon them because of that. And it was the same spirit that some people had in Pergamos. They not only felt this way, but by indication, they were teachers in the church. And they were not rebuked, but they were put into positions of leadership. And he says in verse 15, Revelation 2:15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that I hate, the thing that I hate. Amen. And again, that's the doctrine of freedom to live any way we choose. And it was a doctrine of sensuality. Think about this tonight. We are bombarded with this same spirit every day. In school, our children are bombarded with this every single day. And it's not just what is taught from the teacher, but it is the pressure from the other students. It is the understanding. Amen. It is the understanding that this is an acceptable lifestyle now. It is an acceptable way. It's not talked about as fornication anymore. It's just an experience. But I'm telling you tonight that what God wants us to have is a chaste lifestyle, so that when we walk down the aisle and we say, I do, amen, we are pure and clean. Thank God. Now, not everybody has measured up to that, and there is forgiveness. But I'm telling you what, there is a direction that it takes you in your life. And I won't go into great detail on that, but we are bombarded with this every day. Internet. It is in the internet so very, very much. And if it feels good, do it. It is the thing of our world. And we look like to the world as crazy people. I don't want you to be negative about your walk with God, but when you talk about righteousness, people don't understand it today. And when you talk about purity, they don't understand it today. That's old thinking. That's not the modern progressive way of thinking. But I'm telling you, there's a reason that he spoke to this church, and it's in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. to him that overcometh. What are we going to overcome? We're going to overcome the doctrine of Balaam. We're going to overcome the sensuality of what is around us every day. We're going to overcome. Doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted, but it means you're going to overcome. Praise God. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth. Praise God. And it's a hidden manna, and it's a stone with a name that nobody knows. But the Bible says, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him tonight? Let's never, ever let a spirit like this slip into the church. Amen. Had somebody come and say they wanted to be a part of our congregation, and they were honest enough to tell me what they believed, and they said, I'll just keep my mouth quiet. I won't say anything, and I won't cause you any troubles whatsoever. I want to ask you today, how far is that going to go? How far will that go? I'll tell you how far it'll go. You can have anything. You can have anything sitting on the pew and say it's all right. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Let's stand for truth. Somebody said amen. Let's stand for the word of God. Let's stand for what is right. And we'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Stand with me this evening. Praise God. Do you love the Word of God tonight? Amen. I love the Word of God. There's something about it. We have a new member of the church. And some of you probably already heard. And Boaz has come into this life. I guess everything went well. 6 pounds, 7 ounces, as far as I know. Nobody's sent me any message yet. I texted Brother Doug and I said, how are things going? And he just texted back, good. Thanks a lot. Amen. But we're looking forward to seeing Boaz. Amen. So let's remember Sister Rapidy in our prayers and ask the Lord to give her quick healing from the surgery. Amen. Praise God. God's good to us. God's good to us.